Hello and welcome back to the Creator Spotlight podcast, the show focused on highlighting the very best of your favourite creators. On today's episode, I have Lucy Brown. Welcome, Lucy. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no probs. Absolutely fine. I've been a long time watcher of the stuff you've been making on Drive Tribe and all the other channels and stuff, and quite impressed with what you do. So I've actually wanted to get you on the show for quite a while, really. So I've just sort of jumped ahead a little bit. Do you want to give us sort of an intro of who you are and what you do? That'd be great.
Yep, I am Lucy Brown. What I do is kind of all over the place, if I'm honest. I guess the closest descriptor would be marketing, social media.
Yeah.
I've spent sort of last 5-10 years working mainly in social media. A lot of that ends up being video these days. So I worked at Drive Tribe for a long time, and there I created all of the different social posts that went out on different platforms and had a hand in some of the video content that went out on there. I'm probably fairly known for being bullied by James May. That's probably quite a big part of my job. We made quite a lot of sort of cooking videos on another channel called Food Tribe, which then rebranded to What Next. And then Drive Tribe, we mainly made car videos, either with the main presenter Mike Fernie or with people like Richard Hammond and James May. It still surprises me that I get to sort of have fun like this as a job, really. But that's kind of what I do.
Yeah. It's very cool, isn't it? Sort of. So I started doing car content last year on my own own YouTube channel, and it's a massive learning curve of speaking on camera, filming, and all the other technical bits that go through it. But it is quite fun at the same time, and you can definitely get that from people you watch on the internet. So yeah, definitely. And so we'll get to the Drive Tribe stuff in a minute, but sort of take me back to some of your starts. So I know you grew up in France, but what did you initially want to do as a career to start with before you got into making video and social media stuff?
I actually fell into this completely by accident. I was studying for my A-levels and Drive Tribe just popped up as this social platform. My brother has a mini business, so I thought, oh, maybe I can use this platform to promote his mini business. So I just played with it like most people did when Drive Tribe first launched. And then one afternoon I was procrastinating on my A-level revision and I saw that they were looking for an intern, which I thought would be kind of fun. Growing up, huge fan of Clarkson, Hammond and May, Top Gear, all of that. So I thought, okay, I'll apply for this, you know, if I get it, which I won't, it'll just be a nice little summer gig before I go off to university. So I applied. I used social media probably like a normal person, but I wasn't like into social media. I didn't see that as a career path at all. I'll be honest, I lied quite heavily on my application. I said that I had run Facebook pages and I knew exactly what I was doing. And then I got an interview, which made me massively panic because I suddenly had to learn how to run a Facebook page. I had to learn how to make social media. I had to learn Photoshop just sort of in preparation so anyone at the interview wouldn't know I was a fraud. Did the interview, went up to their London offices, which were in King's Cross at the time, and I got the internship. I kind of miscalculated because it started during my A-levels. I assumed it was just a summer thing, but I actually started 3 months before my A-levels, and I'm sure my A-levels took a negative hit from that, but it was really fun. And then after that I continued doing it for the summer and I loved it. I think sort of 2 months, it was meant to be a sort of 3-4 month internship. I think about halfway through they offered me a junior position as social media executive, I think it would have been.
Okay.
And so I sort of secretly cancelled my university place and didn't tell any of my friends or family about it because I was having such a nice time. And that's sort of how I discovered social media and how much fun it could be as a job.
Yeah, sometimes you could spend a long time in uni and then not have fun, and then it's a lot of times it's more important to have fun doing a job that you enjoy, I think. Definitely quite an important thing.
I would have gone to university to study history and politics, and I have no idea what I would be doing with that now.
Yeah, no idea. So how long were you at Drive Tribe before you started there sort of full time as it was?
I was probably only there for about 3 months. And then I became a social media executive. I was an intern up until that point.
Yep.
And that was probably late 2017, so quite a while ago now. And it was sort of, I think there's been a few phases of Drive Tribe, and that was still phase one of Drive Tribe. There's still a website and the app, and all quite a long time ago. But yeah, yeah, I was a social media executive after a few months, and that was ages ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny to think sometimes how you think, oh, 2016, that's when the Grand Tour started, but it's actually quite a while ago now.
Almost a decade ago. It feels like yesterday.
Quite scary. Definitely. Now, Drive Tribe obviously went through its sort of phases, as you mentioned, and when roughly did it start to become just a YouTube channel directly? I guess the website itself wasn't as successful as it needed to be, I guess. Is that correct?
I think there's two phases of the YouTube channel. There's sort of Drive Tribe phase one, early phase one, before I was there, where the YouTube channel was really lovely, polished videos with people like Jeffro Bovingdon and Henry Catchpole. Mm. And then that stopped quite quickly. That stopped by the time that I joined in 2017. Then the YouTube channel just sort of got left alone for a few years. And then it was probably 2019, so a good couple years later, that sort of I got together with Mike, who's the main presenter and head of video now there, and we just sort of thought we could be doing YouTube. Mike wanted to be a video presenter, so we thought we'd try it. We basically pitched internally, hey, let us have a go and see what happens. And that sort of was the rebirth, I guess, of the channel, mainly sort of mic videos, and then we got James May involved, and then it kind of took off from there. So that I'd say was phase two of the YouTube channel. Then phase three was 2021, when the website and the app shut down and just the socials lived on, and that would be sort of phase three of the channel, which is the phase it's in now.
Yeah, definitely. Now, prior to that, what I like to talk about on this podcast is how people get, like, you could look at video as quite a hard thing to get into, but it's actually, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's not as daunting as people think it is, I don't think. Now, had you done any video prior to doing the stuff for Drive Tribe? Like, how easy was getting to grips with it, or had you done any video work before?
I always liked photography. Right, I was a bit of a sort of photography nerd growing up, so I always liked cameras. I hadn't really done video. I remember I used to just film little travel videos here and there, just, you know, for my family and things like that. So I liked the idea of filming. And then we actually just had a video team who had sort of kit and stuff. So I just played with that for a little bit and then sort of started learning to film stuff with that. And then we had a potential trip to New York for the Formula E. And I'll be honest, I really wanted to go. So I sort of suggested that Mike and I went, just the two of us, and I'd film everything. So that sort of really gave me a big push to start, okay, I need to get a gimbal, learn how to use it, learn how to film properly. I look back at those videos, they're so terrible. We should have sent a proper videographer, because I still don't class myself as a proper videographer. But it was a great week in New York, and I learned a lot about filming. So I'd say I mainly learn on the job. Like I said, I started as social media, and early on, that was, like, you forget, but sort of 5-6 years ago, video was so much not a big deal as it is now. It was mainly sort of engagement posts, asking people questions and things like that. That was sort of the bread and butter of social media, and video sort of came along a little bit later, especially short form. So I didn't actually need to know video early on. I just sort of learned it when we started our YouTube journey. But early on, I didn't film much and I didn't edit much. It sort of came a bit more gradually.
Yeah, I think definitely, like, I look back at even videos I filmed this time last year, and they are pants in comparison to the stuff I do now. The stuff I do now is not perfect, but, like, it is very much a gradual thing. Like, you think, oh, do I want to get started in doing videos? I think that's the one people, that's something that people worry about. Oh, I want to do this, but not too sure how it's going to work, or just do it, and then you'll learn over time, I think. So that's quite interesting.
Exactly.
So that's quite interesting. Like, you sort of had a little bit of photography experience to start with, and then you sort of got into video as it went slower. Now, I know that you slowly sort of eased yourself into presenting as well. How did you find that? Is it something you were quite nervous about doing, or is it something that sort of came over time? Or
it's never something I wanted to do, if I'm honest. It was not in my sort of trajectory at all. I was sort of behind the camera, very happy with that, and then we started making cooking videos with James May in his bunker kitchen, and he thought it'd be fun to have me try it, mainly because he knew I don't like most of the foods that he makes. So bit by bit, he asked me to come on to sort of try it at the end, and that became sort of a little bit more and a little bit more. And I will be honest, I really didn't like it. I felt completely judged, as everyone is on the internet. I was quite uncomfortable with it. I was always that person growing up who like wasn't in pictures, didn't like being on camera, very sort of nervous and self-conscious. So it was a bit, but I think as I sort of gradually did more and more and more of it with James, then it sort of made me feel comfortable. James also makes you feel super comfortable, so that really helped. So it was just very gradual. And then COVID happened and lockdown happened, and it was sort of suggested internally that it might be fun if a few of us had YouTube channels. And of course, we weren't going out and doing shoots during lockdown. All of the videos on the channel at the time were just sort of Zoom call videos, basically. And because of that, I thought, okay, I'm forgetting how to use a camera. I'm forgetting how to edit. Why not start a YouTube channel? No one's going to see it, and it's just a way for me to keep making some fun videos, and maybe I'll get better at being on camera, because I'm still bad, but back then I was really bad. So it was a little fun project, and that was the first sort of time I sort of properly started presenting, I think, really. And then I got a bit more confident because of doing that, and then when COVID sort of started to ease a bit, we did a few more videos with James, and then I guess I took on a bit more of a sort of presentary role, where instead of just appearing for 2 minutes at the end, I would actually sort of cook with James, and that's probably how it really started for me.
Yeah, those are, it's quite funny, because if you watch the Bunker Kitchens, as it's called, before 2020, they're like, it's quite funny, he's mentioning like the bug out, like the sort of apocalypse sort of scenario, and then it's quite funny because afterwards that sort of, yeah. It's quite
funny. Yeah, definitely a coincidence there.
Yeah, yeah. I will say though, I have your channel's doing pretty. Your channel, I think, is very good. Like I watched the other day, I watched your mini review video. Sort of, it was quite an interesting sort of format, because you had, it was split in half, wasn't it? You had like the process of filming the video to start with, and then the bit afterwards. I thought it was, like you said, you're not very good at presenting. I thought it was really good, and the way you sort of presented it, and the challenges of someone who hasn't done a car review before, what you went through, that I thought was good. So
thank you. Yeah, I always find, sort of, as I have obviously been in the car industry, I know a lot about it. I don't know a huge amount about cars. Like, I'm not a car journalist, I'm not super experienced, I'm not a huge petrol head. So whenever I watch car reviews, I don't really get a lot of the stuff that they're talking about, all these different journalists. So I thought maybe making a sort of dumbed down version of it might work quite nicely. But also, I think having filmed a lot of car reviews in the past, a lot of people assume that it's just filmed, you know, in order, and it's sort of filmed live, whereas it's really not the case. So I kind of like having that element of it. I find it interesting. I love, sort of, whenever a movie comes out, I'm the one watching the behind the scenes and the how it's made and all of that. So I thought maybe that might be an interesting angle, because I can't exactly pull off doing a car review like I'm a car journalist. So I need to always find what my niche is, what I am not a fraud in.
No, I thought it was very good. And there's definitely, I definitely agree that there's a market for that, because as you mentioned, I bet there's other people out there that are looking to watch a car review, but don't want to know all the stuff that goes with it, all the technical stuff. Like, I think that would be a really good sort of, segment of the sort of YouTube market, as you call it. They just want to know if the car's any good, and there's not many like that, is there? So I think that'd be good.
Yeah, I think I might try and do some more. I was surprised that anyone would give me a car, if I'm honest, and I really wanted to try a new Mini, so that was also a big reason behind doing the video.
Yeah, definitely. I would recommend reaching out to some of the PR offices, and just say, like, you've got this many views, this many subscribers, and see, and the idea you've got behind it as well. I think they'll give you a chance. So
we'll see. I've been trying lately to make videos that my audience have been asking for.
Yep.
I started the channel, and then everything at Drive Tribe just got so hectic that I couldn't post on it, couldn't make videos for a good couple of years. So I feel really guilty about that. So I'm basically saying, they sort of, I asked everyone, what do you want to see? They said a cooking video, did a cooking video. They said a car video, done a car video, travel video, I've done a travel video. So I'm trying to sort of make the content as much as I can for the people who are asking for it, for the older subscribers, because I do feel quite guilty about abandoning them.
Yeah, like, I remember you did, a while back, you did some of these, what were they, like, speed travel videos to do for the What Next channel. Do you think those videos sort of inspired you to do some of the travel videos on your own channel? Because I watched some of the recent ones you did. They are fantastic. Just the pace of it and the engagement in the watching the video is really good. Do you think that was a bit of inspiration, do you think, or...?
Oh, massively. When we were doing What Next, I think I was partially sort of spearheading the content ideas, mainly because I'm quite close with James. And I was trying to find out what sort of videos can I do on What Next? Mm. Sort of what am I passionate about that would translate into content? And I really want to travel. I love traveling. So I was like, okay, we need to try and figure out a way I can travel and make videos on What Next without costing it a fortune. So I came up with the idea of the cheapest travel show possible, where I take the cheapest flight, and see where I end up. And the mission is to create a sort of travel video for Rich Hammond to review and sort of see if it's a good place for him to travel, kind of thing. So that was huge amounts of fun. Managed to do two series of those, three countries each time, literally in a country for less than 24 hours. And while you're there, you have to film a travel video. So it's a lot of running about. It's a lot of asking strangers to film me, which was incredibly stressful because I hate asking strangers for anything. I'm really sort of anxious going up to people. So that put me out of my comfort zone. But yeah, the travel side of it was so much fun. And people seem to really like those videos on What Next. So I definitely would like to do more travel stuff because I get to travel and I really enjoy that. And it's something a little bit different on my channel, I think. I haven't quite figured out what my sort of consistent thing is on my channel so far. Every video I've done has been very different. So I'm sort of still figuring that out, what people want to see and what I enjoy doing.
Maybe some YouTube channels, they go after a particular thing, like a specific topic, but it could be that, like, you could just do any sort of topic and people would come. So you've sort of built up a little bit of a following, so people might just come for you, if you know what I mean. Like, they may just see what Lucy's up to next, and it could just be anything. And you've got a very specific style and with the fonts you use on the videos and the sort of just the way it's shot. It's definitely sort of a niche you've got. So I think people might just come for you, to be honest. But yeah.
Yeah, I've got massive imposter syndrome on that, so I keep forgetting. Yeah, there's two styles of channel, right? There's topic or person based, and I still am not a YouTuber or an influencer in my head, so I really struggle that people will care about anything I do. So it's something I need to get over.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just worth trying. Just like, oh, I've got this idea. Just see what happens with the video. If it doesn't do well, it doesn't do well, and see what happens. But yeah. So that sort of I had a question written down. So what plans for content have you got going forward? But I guess we've sort of answered that. You're not too sure, basically. So, yeah.
A bit of everything, basically. Yeah. I made sure when I started the channel again. I think with YouTube, it's really easy to get into sort of being in a hamster wheel, and it's like a grind. You have to always have a video ready. You have to sort of, and you get sort of a bit burnt out by it and a bit sort of sad, like it's not fun anymore. So I think when I relaunched it, I was like, okay, I'm going to post every 2 weeks. I'm going to make sure that I've got enough time to do something fun. I don't want to get sort of angry and like, oh, I've got to edit a video or I've got to film a video. I want to make sure I'm always having fun. So I'm not going to be super strategic. I don't really care about views. I care more about liking the video that I've made and just have fun with it. So currently it's what I need to post in just over a week. Haven't got a video for that. I've got a couple days tomorrow and the day after to sort of figure out if there's anything interesting I want to do. It's also another reason to do something. Oh, I need a video in 2 weeks' time. Let's go do something fun. And then it pushes me to go do something fun. So I'm not at all strategic about it at the moment. I'm just sort of doing stuff as it comes up. But definitely more travel stuff, maybe more car stuff. I like behind the scenes stuff. I work with James still quite a bit, so behind the scenes stuff on that could be interesting. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely. Like when I was doing research to start my own YouTube stuff, I was like, how do people film this stuff? And there's not much information out there. You could watch, not many people go into the ins and outs of how something's filmed, if it's a big production or anything. So that'd be definitely quite interesting to see how things are filmed in general. So yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, before I started doing behind the scenes stuff with James, assumed that there was this big TV crew and it was all like a professional set and things like that, and people were quite surprised that it was just like a basement room with some horrible mattress in it and just like two people with a tripod and a little microphone, that it wasn't at all a professional setup. So I think it's quite nice that people see that it's not a huge thing. Like, James is really chill. We just sort of turn up, have a bit of fun, turn the cameras on and edit a video from it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, so doing, you mentioned you helped James with stuff, but doing YouTube for you isn't full time. You've got your own business, I think.
Yeah, I've got a social media agency, which is sort of, I guess, my full time. James May's gin business is one of the clients of that agency, so I still spend a lot of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm running my channel. I probably spend maybe sort of 4 days a month for my channel, which is a bit tough. I think at least a week a month to do it better. Mm. So I think I might sort of reshuffle some things around because I am really enjoying doing it. So I do want to make more time for it. But yeah, it's part-time at the moment. I also run James May's new gin channel, which we launched a couple months ago, called James May's Planet Gin. So that's sort of another channel which is taking a lot of my focus, and it's really fun. It's just James cooking mostly, really.
Yeah, I think people really enjoy that content. And so if people needed, like, do you want to, if people needed any sort of help with social media, what sort of things do you do as part of the business you've got?
I think it really depends. I don't like, when I started the agency, I was sort of, in my mind, it was, I hate dealing with agencies. They're always so annoying, and there's all these words that mean nothing, and it's just so much sort of show and no actual sort of doing it properly. So I thought, okay, it's going to be an agency without bullshit, excuse my French, and it's just going to do what anyone needs, really. So it's almost like we don't have sort of, oh, well, for this amount of money, we can do 4 social posts a month for you kind of thing. It's more okay, what do you need? What are your goals? Here's what we propose we do for you. So it's a lot more sort of tailored and personal rather than sort of being this faceless sort of company that just hands you 6 social posts each month kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's completely tailored to our clients. We are very selective about our clients because, again, we want clients that we believe in their products and we want to have fun doing it. And you do a way better job when you enjoy the product or have fun doing the work. So it's completely dependent on what the client's after, really.
Yeah, it's definitely good because, I've definitely come across some companies that you want something done, like filming or something, and they're just, it's just a price and then a list of descriptions, and then there's not much human that goes into it, if you know what I mean. So that's really good. I think that's an important thing to do. I think people want a tailored experience when it comes to that. So, yeah, definitely. And then links to Lucy's company will be in the show notes as well if you're interested.
You don't need to do that. We're not looking for new clients right now.
Awesome. Have you got any... So the time you've spent filming and presenting and stuff and editing as well, have you got any advice for anyone looking to get into making YouTube for themselves or making YouTube for their company or filming or anything?
I'd say just do it. And then, I know everyone says that. I'd say just do it. Like, if you're sort of worried about how you're going to be, I think the sort of looking back at content you've made and it being awful to you is a real big sort of driver. So I've made probably 3 times as many videos as I've posted, and I've just made them, edited them, then had a chance to sort of actually look at it. Okay, well, I was quite bad in this. I did this badly. I did that badly. This is quite good. And sort of cherry picked from all the stuff that I never posted because it wasn't any good. And then bit by bit making these videos, I get better. So my first 10 videos, they were my worst 10 videos, but my 10th one was way better than my first one. So when I posted my 11th video, which is my first video I actually posted, I'm 10 videos better already. And the more you do it, the faster you get, the better you get, the more fun you have. So I'd say just do it. You don't have to post it. Just make it for yourself and you'll get better at it. I think I personally, whenever I started sort of editing, for example, I didn't sort of, you know, spend a month learning how to edit. I just filmed a video and then had YouTube open in one window, Premiere Pro open in the other window, and just started to edit it. I watch a bunch of YouTube as well, so, oh, that's a really cool effect. Oh, that text there is really cool. Oh, that animation's awesome. I'm going to sort of try and do that. So every time I see something cool, I catalogue it and then try and replicate it in Premiere. And bit by bit by bit, you get better and you sort of get to know what sort of style is yours, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's also really important, if you make a video, you probably spent X amount of hours looking at yourself talking. You sort of get a bit numb to it. So I think it's really important to have a third party come review it, even if that's like a significant other or something, just to have a watch of it. And they've got like fresh eyes. They can see exactly how stupid you look or whatever you've said is wrong or something. So I think that's really 100%. Important if you've got that available to do. So
100% agree with that. I really struggle with my hands. I move my hands all over the place when I'm presenting. And I can't seem to stop it. I try and put my hands in my pockets, but then I just feel awkward. So whenever I show it to my friends or whatever before I post it, they're always like, your hands. And whenever I can, it's very rare, but if I have a friend who can help film me, then they can just be there behind the camera and say, stop moving your hands, Lucy. And that sort of helps it. It also makes it more fun if you can have someone film you, but I think also being able to do it on your own is really empowering, because it means that you can just head out on any given day and make a video. You don't need to have all of the excuses which will stop you from doing, I can't, it's my friend can't help me, or I can't do the audio and the video at the same time. So if you just learn how to do it all on your own, you can do it on your phone. You then sort of get a lot more sort of used to the idea. It doesn't feel like a huge event filming a video. It's just every other Tuesday.
There's people I spoke to on this podcast that just use a phone to film everything. And the stuff they come out with is just, you can just use your phone. Phone cameras are really good now. Definitely.
I've moved way, way more to using my phone, especially for vlogging. I find if I have a video in mind and I've got my sort of big camera, I'll film way less. A, because I get nervous about everyone staring at me in public places holding this huge camera. I don't want people to think, oh, another YouTuber person, ugh. So using your phone is just super easy, and I'll film more. If I just commit to using my phone, I'll film way more, and it'll probably be a better video. It won't be all shiny and lovely, but it'll probably be a better video. So I think that, phones are huge.
Yeah, 100%. And all the audio stuff, like maybe ages ago, you'd have to have someone monitoring the audio with headphones on, and you can still do that, but you've got all these wireless mics you can use now, and they sound good. So there's lots of tools available. They're a lot cheaper than they used to be. I think it's really good. Lots of cool cameras and drones are quite cheap now, so lots of nice tools available. You can make a video in pretty easily, really. So
and soon AI will edit it for you as well.
Definitely. So thanks, Lucy, for joining me on the Creator Spotlight podcast. It's been really, really fun to have you on to sort of learn about your past experiences and sort of presenting videos for Drive Tribe and stuff. If people want to find out more about you and what you make and do online, where can they find you?
Thanks so much for having me. If anyone's interested, then Lucy Brown on YouTube's probably the place to go.
Yep, I'll put some links in the show notes as well. You can find this podcast on YouTube and all the usual places and stuff. The website also, theinterface.uk. Thanks everyone. Thanks again, Lucy, for coming on, and we'll see you again next time. Thank you.